to the Divorce Devil podcast, a show tailor-made for those stepping out of the divorce recovery space. Follow your hosts, David and Rachel, as they dive into the all-too-familiar shitstorm of the more-than-interesting end-of-the-road divorce topics, stories, and discussions. While realizing it can be a trying stage, they have been where you are and understand the struggle. And yes, the struggle is real. They know that recovery can be such a clusterfuck. Check out the podcast if you feel like you're juggling chainsaws, then strap in and hold on for some honesty, authenticity, and hard-in-your-face irrefutable truths. This innovative podcast is not for the faint-hearted, so if you can't handle the certain truths, just keep it moving. If you can, welcome to the show.
Welcome everybody out there to Divorce Devil episode 169, the goose drank wine, the monkey chewed tobacco on the street, car line, the line broke, monkey got choked. Episode 169.
I totally did not think you were doing that. I was like, get low. As I'm sitting on my little bouncy ball chair thing over here.
Episode
169. Or 169. No, that's 369.
Yeah,
that's
369.
Why. Yeah. I got a little confused. Yeah. It's okay.
So this is a Divorce Devil episode. This is the eighth.
Yep.
Episode of the 10-part series of feeling better after your divorce. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So today we're talking about learning from the past. Reflect on what your marriage taught you. Discuss not letting the past define you. Journal prompt. What do you need to leave behind? Rachel, what are some of the things you left behind?
My ex-mother-in-law.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, your ex too.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I still see him.
Yeah. But you left behind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it also talks about the things that I left behind was sadness and... Oh, do I need to get further on the ball? Oh, closer to the big black fuzzy Mike. Thing?
Yep.
Okay.
It's not fuzzy, by the way.
It's just a little.
No.
What was I saying? Oh, like I left behind, like, not knowing my worth. I left behind all those insecurities. I left behind the doubts that I had. I left behind, you know, the toxic everything. Relationships, personalities, all the things that I didn't put myself first in order to make other people happy. And, you know, leaving those behind, you also have to replace it with something. So confidence and, you know, badass attitude.
Badass.
Not giving a fuck. Yeah.
A frick.
No fucks given. So I think what happened was I took back my power and leaving back my, you know, you're not good enough. You're not this, you know, you're fifth, you're 90th, whatever. So that's what I left behind. What'd you leave behind?
My anger.
I was going to say that.
I left my anger. Okay. But I did not leave my mojo. I kept my mojo for a little while. this goes so many ways. I kept my mojo.
Serial dating, you definitely need some mojo. Serial
dating, you had to have a mojo.
Yeah.
Either I was extremely lucky or I was doing it pretty good. So I'm going to go with a little bit of both. You know,
there are grape nuts and there's frosted flakes.
Grape nuts or grape?
Grape nuts. Okay. You know, the ones that... Break the roof of your mouth when you're eating and stuff. Yeah, those. The terrible cereal.
Yeah.
And then the Frosted Flakes. All the sugar. Just give me the sugar.
I think my new name is Count Chocolate.
Hey. Well, I hope you're not sucking on anything. Yeah.
But don't you enjoy after having the milk sit in the cereal and the milk takes on the taste of the cereal?
I'm lactose intolerant. No.
Well, before. Because I am too.
Yeah.
But before, you know, it used to be like, it wasn't milk anymore. It like morphed. So maybe that milk is kind of like divorce recovery.
Yeah. It's you milky know, and then.
Like it's
Jesus
all.
Jesus Christ, where we're going with this?
No. Before it was pure milk and then you add it to the Frosted Flakes. Definitely. Then all of a sudden you go through a divorce.
The crazy oats.
And then the sugar just blends into the milk.
I feel like it tastes better too. Like the sugar tastes better as you go along. Like, cause then you're like, oh no, I don't like that. Yes, I like that. No. I love me some corn pops. Oh, I really like,
I like corn pops.
You know, so like you really have to find your cereal.
Yep.
You know, and we're not talking the Aldi brand, you know, Frosted Flakes. We're talking Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, not that ghetto stuff.
No, not the stuff with the fake meat.
But I don't want to be, I don't want to be dissing on people who didn't have real cereal. Maybe that wasn't your deal, but I was lucky to have real cereal.
I feel like growing up, we had a mixture of it. Like some, like a couple times my mom brought home like the Oreos that weren't really the Oreos and they were like,
they were fake.
They could tell they were chemicals and they were like,
because you turn them and they go, it's crunch.
What's that? Oh, it's fine. Your palm oil is good for you.
So my foray into realism was when I went to college.
Oh.
And I think milk at the commissary or the in college cafeterias is like 0.002%.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was used to like whole milk.
Whole milk.
You know,
red
like
top.
You cut it with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Borden. But man, I got to college. I was like, who put water in the milk?
Yeah. Or did you have powdered? You didn't have powdered milk back in the day. Were you that poor?
No.
You had to add water to your milk?
No.
Oh, someone's calling me. Look at that.
No. But anyway, so yeah, that's the past. So yeah. now I do Rice Dream. Mm. And it stays, it's on the shelf. So it'll keep for like 2 years. So nice.
That's so good for you.
Oh, yeah. So when Armageddon comes,
yeah,
me and rice milk, baby. Rice milk and divorce recovery.
Remember that time I bought you the Dutch Bros thing and it had all the weird things in it? You're like, whoa, 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 what is that?
Yeah. But I drank it though, didn't I?
Oat milk, no gluten, half fake sugar, half.
And I was on the toilet that
night. Are you still sugar free?
Yeah.
Good job, man. I'm proud of you. We digress.
Anyway, so. You learn from your, you know, it's kind of like learning your mistakes. But even though you learn, sometimes you don't learn because that person, man or woman, still has control of you, even though you've let them go.
Well, and I think especially when you have kids, you are forced because you're really forced, right? To have
a relationship.
Yeah, you have to.
Interactionship.
You have to be able to communicate enough. Because in the beginning, of course, we all know. We're not saying however you dealt with it in the beginning is right or wrong. But whatever you need to do to get through, we are advocates of. I don't know what you have to do to get through, but I know what I need.
As long as nobody gets hurt.
And half the time, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, going to learn from that one.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, you have to. Where the hell was I talking about? I saw something out the window.
It was kids and co-parenting.
Oh, so basically. You have to interact with that other person. And a lot of times, you really just don't want to.
Yeah.
You really just want to punch them in their face.
Yeah.
I don't condone violence at all, but.
It feels good.
You have, I know a couple times when right after, like, and you know, he would say something and I was like, how can you say that? Like, what are you talking about? Do you need to go to, like, get some help? What's going on? And so a lot of times I'd be like, I have to fake it through, you know, chew on the crap and get through enough to be able to make whatever best situation for my son will be.
Yeah.
And so I think what divorce had taught me is really to communicate. And almost to the point where I communicate the shit out of everything because I never
over communicate.
Yeah. I never want, you know, anybody in my life now to not know where they stand. You know, like, I love you 1,000 times, but I mean it each time I say it. I just need you to know I love you so much. And yes, you're going to, you know, like, I can only speak right now about Logan, say. So, you're going to make mistakes. You're 12. I still love you no matter what. We will work through it. We will get through it. But I hope the next time that this situation or something similar comes into that, you do better. And that goes along with divorce. You might be like, I'm going to be calm. And then you see them, you're like, I fucking hate you. Why are you looking at me? Don't talk to me. And you had a plan. You were going to do the best you could. Well, guess what? The best turned out terrible because someone cut you off on the way. You have no gas. You need to go buy groceries. And now you have to see your ex and you're like,
But you learn from the past.
Fuck you.
So there's one thing that we never, ever talked about, and it's so prevalent. And episode 8, learning from the past, kind of brings up, and we'll talk about that too in one of these later podcasts, control.
Yeah.
That is huge in divorce recovery.
Yeah.
Who has it? The lack thereof.
Yeah.
Having control, no control, pseudo control. There's so many levels of control, and it's almost like you have to let it go. That's nothing to let go.
When you're getting divorced, you're battling for control that you didn't have or that you had. And like, you know, cause a lot of times one partner is controlling and the other partner just submits, right? Generally, that's how it works. One is the more overbearing or, you know, one has the family around them, and we all just, I felt like we all just cater to.
Yeah.
And so.
So you can't have two alpha males.
Exactly. Yep. And you can't have two personalities that aren't willing to change or to communicate. Because a lot of times when I had something that it may not have been that important to him, but I just needed to say it to get it off of my chest or something like that, it always turns like, what do you want me to do about it? Well, you can't figure it out. Aren't you an adult? Like, or it'd be turned in like my mother-in-law, like, well, I've done this and I raised this many and I had, I'm like, yeah, but you had a fucking nanny that lived in your house. Yeah. Like, stop. You know, and I a lot of times when I look back, the thing that I have learned with the control thing, like I was talking about, you know, we're going on a vacation and I was talking about past vacations. The itinerary was like, okay, you're going to take 5 steps. You're going to do this. We're going to go. This is the time you have to go to the bathroom. This is when we're going on this expensive trip or we're doing this thing and we need to get the most of it. And let's like kill ourselves trying to get everything done, even though we're probably going to come back to the same spot, like, cause we come every year. And so from the vacation, we were so tired, never got to make a decision because we couldn't veer off course. Where now I'm like, la, 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 okay, whatever happens, happens. We got plane tickets and we got places to stay. So whatever happens in between. So I've kind of let go of my idea of things are, if I worry about something before it happens, I've now worried about it twice. Mm-hmm. When it happens and before it
too
happens.
Too many times.
And a lot of times it doesn't turn out the way you've literally worried about the whole time. It turns out better, and it turns out you're prepared for whatever happens, and you can deal with it. But if you are worried the whole time that before an incident happens, I got to go see my ex today. We got to do a drop off. What's going to happen? Is he going to yell? Is he going to do? Oh, did I miss a? Did I forget a shoe? Did the kid have all of his homework? All things. Hey, I gave you responsibility. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have your backpack. Make sure you have your things. If you don't have them, that's now on you because I already did my job as a parent and said these are the things you need, and we're going to learn that. You might need shoes to go to school. and that has happened.
Ditto.
We're like, you got to get out of the car. I don't have any shoes. Where are your shoes? At home. Yeah. What?
Get out of the car.
That's your main.
Get out of the car. See you later.
Hopefully
they have shoes in the homeroom.
Yeah. I mean, you might have to 4D print yourself some in tech today.
So I've got some 10 things to leave behind recovery and divorce recovery and healing.
Yeah.
Negative self-talk.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that. Toxic relationships. Mm-hmm. Well, you're getting out of one because you're getting divorced. Mm-hmm. Unhealthy habits. Mm-hmm. Drinking too much.
Yeah.
Resentment and bitterness.
Sugar, cereal, dating.
Anger.
Anger.
Fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like anger a little bit.
Yeah.
Guilt and shame. I went through that too. Yeah. No one's going to love me.
That's
nobody
a big one.
Want me. Oh, yeah.
That's a big one, especially when you're... When the light bulb clicks on, you go, oh, do I want to be alone? Nah, I like being alone. I like being single. And then it's like,
but you don't have a choice.
But do I really want to be alone? Yeah.
My favorite, unrealistic expectations.
That is your favorite. I feel like the book you write should be called that.
Unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. Control and imperfectionism. It's control.
Yeah.
Comparison and envy. Mm-hmm. Envy really wasn't a big deal with me.
No.
You know, that was probably the least emotion that I dealt with.
The only time I had that is I had gone to a wedding and they're like, how many people have been married 20 years? Come to the dance floor. How many mm-hmm. people have married 25 years? Come to the dance floor. I'm like, I would have been married 24 and a half or whatever. And I was
but
like,
you're like, can't believe now?
That dream of what my marriage and my life was supposed to be like shattered at that moment. But then the pieces of that were, I now know who I am and I'm the best version of me and I can love you back all of me can love you, whoever, back.
Without a spouse.
Without someone else saying, don't make a scene. Don't do that. You're getting crazy. Don't have two drinks. Don't, you know, like, I felt like I had a parent.
Control.
Yeah. And a lot of times it was the image that of his family, the image of the white picket fence and everything is great. Where a lot of times it wasn't, you know, and we've dealt with him having cancer and we, you know, lost a child and, you know, both our fathers had passed away a month apart. And, you know, so there was a lot of trauma and grief and things that one of those could have broken up a marriage. And we stuck through a lot of them. And the final one was, I didn't take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I think now, like, I joke around a lot too, but I'm like, you're not the boss of me.
Yeah.
You're not the boss of me. Don't tell me what to do.
Thank you for letting me leave you so I can take care of myself.
Yeah. And like, you know, with Lance now too, he'll say something. I was like, he's like, what? You want to do it on your time? I was like, I'm ready now. Just because it's jokingly playful, but in my past life, if I didn't follow suit, it was treacherous. It was, well, why can't you just get it together? Why are you so unorganized? Why are you this? I'm like, I'm pretty organized. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I'm pretty sure I keep the household while you're traveling across the world. So I think, and maybe a lot of it was my own insecurities because I didn't feel like I was a part of my own family, that I made those more grandiose than they probably were. But in my head and in my memory, it was, why am I here? Like, what's my purpose? What's my take in this family?
So back to control and envy, mine was that, you know, we're not a family anymore. All my friends have family. They have a mommy and a daddy. I felt sorry for my kids. But that guilt and control, envy, perfectionism, they're all meshed into one.
And I think one of the other things when you said that, that I struggled with was, I was never going to get divorced because my parents did. And I did. And I was like, well, there's another thing I fucking failed at.
Second generation divorce. Woohoo!
Air high five.
There we go. Boom.
So yeah, so there's a lot of things that will hit you. And it's like real, like it doesn't have to be a timed thing. And you're just sitting there like, you know, like recently my 28th wedding anniversary would have been on March 16th. No real emotion, but then of course, you know, all the memories in Facebook and all the things and
pop up, bam.
Yeah. Like my brother and his wife got married on that day. And I was like, oh, thanks for taking that day. You know, like what? So I think there's a lot of things that come into your mind and how much you've healed. It's malleable. So you're like, yep, this is that day. I really don't have the emotion towards the ex, but like, you know, there would have been a longer marriage. There would have been this. I would have been married longer than my parents, or, you know, I would have made it work or whatever. And I think we have to be less hard on ourselves when we're going through divorce because it already is hard in itself. And we just put so much pressure on ourselves. And I think another thing I've learned from my marriage was if the husband and wife in a marriage aren't the most important thing, generally, how does it work to show your kids what a power couple looks like? What relationships for your children that you want them to have in the future? You know, there's times, of course, if like the kid's sick or something, that they have to be a little bit more on the percentage side. But generally, it should be you're 100, I'm 100, and let's, you know, if I falter a little and I don't feel good today and you can take care of the kids, it still shows the kids that we're a united front. And a lot of times I didn't feel like a united front. And now anytime something comes up, I'm like, okay, well, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what, you know, like, again, Lance is, you know, helps me parent when he can. And generally I parent because it's not – he's a pretty good kid. But – I'm able to communicate my side to my son, and he's like, he can see it now instead of going, Jesus Christ, what the hell? Blah, blah, and it would start out as a yell, and then it'd come down, and we're like, why'd you yell? Like, what's the problem? Like, you know, we don't like to yell because it like physically hurts us. And so now you've just freaked everybody out. We know you're mad, but nothing's gotten resolved. So now everybody's in their corner silent, and no one's talking to each other. Now it's, I'm going to talk this to you. I'm going to tell you what I'm feeling. So now it's not sitting and festering in me. And you can take the parts that you want and leave the parts that you want, but I, the one who having the issue or the crisis or the trauma or the trigger or whatever, have released that to the universe, and then I can start to heal. And I didn't think I deserved that. I didn't think I should be selfish and take the time to do that. But once you start doing, you see, like, it's not selfish to take care of you, because then you can give the other people all of you. And you may not be able to solve the world's problems, but you're also a person that someone else can come to. And now I know I can come to you because you let me just vent. You didn't have to try to fix it, or you didn't tell me that I was wrong or this or that. And, you know, a lot of times it's, I just need to get it out of my system. And a lot of fights in my marriage were from me just going, I can't believe that this person did this. And da, 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 and I'm like, I can't fathom why people can do that. And how can you be mean? And, da, da, da. And it would be like, so what? Like, are you just what? And I'm like, I didn't need your drama back. I just needed you to hear me go.
Don't fix it. Just listen.
Yes.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't fix it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah. You know, that control is so, there's so many facets of it, you know, with the lack of, you know, pseudo control, control before a divorce, control after divorce, because you don't have any control. After the divorce, the control is pretty much gone.
Yeah.
And that really bugs a lot of men and women that they don't have control that what happens at mommy's or daddy's house. Mm-hmm. And I tell those people, let it go, man. There's so much other stuff out there you could waste your time doing.
Oh, I definitely went through that. Like, yeah. Last week was financial stuff, but I definitely had I'm so pissed off that I had to leave my home because you weren't willing to, and I wasn't staying in this toxics anymore because it was just making me sicker and, you know, eating less and drinking more and all the things. And I needed to take care of me to be able to take care of anything else. And, you know, I'm sitting with my bank $27 and he's out having full, you know, Denver dinners, like $300 a night and doing these trips and going back east and doing all the thing. And I'm like, must be nice. Must be fucking nice, because apparently I wasn't part of the family anyway, because you're just doing the same exact things that you did when I was there.
So things don't stop.
Yeah. And so I think that was a big thing for me to go, it doesn't really matter.
I was going to tell you something on this same thing as her wanting me to work.
Oh, an extra day?
Another day. There was something else.
You mean your friend?
Yeah, my friend. Yeah, so my friend's wife. Oh, I had a story right on my tip of my tongue.
And I kept talking.
And I remember between he and his wife, it's going to come later.
Good thing we can edit out the big, long pause. Oh, it's fine.
But I had it right here. Something to do with money or control or, oh my God. So my friend.
Yeah.
My friend.
We all know who
my friend
is, right?
Has been through the ringer.
Yeah.
So when she moved out first and then my friend stayed in the house, and then he moves into he rented another house after that, a couple of months. She demanded to see the house before he signed the lease.
Oh.
Yeah. Control.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you said, and your friend said no.
My friend said, kiss my grits. No.
I haven't heard that forever.
I just want to check it out and make sure it's good enough for my children. I said, if we are living in a slums in a one-bedroom apartment, we'll be fine.
As long as you ain't there, it's good for your children.
Can you believe that stuff, man, my friend went through? That's some crazy shit,
isn't it? Good thing your friend
got rid of his anger issues. You've been up. And that was actually in a face to face. My friend was really cool. I was so proud of him. He said, no, that ain't going to work for me, but thanks for asking.
I still love that too.
But man,
well,
the gall.
The balls on some humans.
Or even the zygotes or whatever women have. What do you guys
the
have?
The cojones. The
inside
ovaries?
Eggs. Ovaries. The ovaries on some women, my friend said, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, like, I never wanted it to be difficult because already difficult enough.
Okay,
and
yes.
So a lot of times I feel like I caved just to make better. But then I'm like, well, fuck, I got shit on. Well, what the hell? Like, wait, what? But in that same breath, it was... Okay, so the next time he wants to say something to me, I'll be like, oh, sure, let's go talk to a lawyer. Let's go talk to that person. Because obviously I'm too much of a pushover and I just wanted the fighting to stop because, I hate fighting. My parents fought most of my life and like the fighting physically like hurts, right? And so a lot of times like, fine, whatever, fine, sure, okay, whatever. And he's like super smart with like documentations and all the things. He's like, well, you said on this day at this time and I got blah, blah, blah. I'm like... what do you want? You want me to be tar and feathered?
Like control, what? Perfectionism.
What else do you need from me that I'm not going to give you? So you need to figure out yourself because I'm done. I in my marriage, we had a lot of the silent treatment and those usually made me go, mark that one up to, I'm not going to give a fuck. And guess what? I'm going to hold out longer with the silent treatment than you because I'm better at it. And it really turned me into, I had to get to the point where I hated him.
In order to make a move.
In order to be able to just deal with him. Yep. Right? And again, I said, we are way better friends than we were. I mean, the beginning of our marriage was great. Great. And then it wasn't. And there was no like finite timeline or whatever.
Well, my friend has nothing now. And he's okay with that.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been the most happy with the least amount of money, like things, places, whatever. And the things that I'm doing now mean more because I work my ass off and I do things for other people and people respect and appreciate the things that I do, not, oh, well, yeah, you clean the whole house, but did you do the dishes? I'm going to throw these fucking dishes at you. I also took care of the children all day and had a full-time job and, you know, picked the one up from school because they were sick while you were in Ghana or Israel, wherever the hell you went. So, and I'm over that, which is great because I don't harbor that anymore. And I think that's part of...
Letting it go is a big old less of a burden.
I think what I've learned now, too, is I actually really do think about things that are important now. Like... If there's a decision to be made, I look at all the ends, all the sides, how my partner's going to react, how my kids are going to react. And I really do take it to, this is what Rachel wants. This is what Rachel needs.
Because you care.
And can you call me at any time of the hour and ask me a question about something? Absolutely. But I am no longer the yes person all the time. I'm okay with saying no. And a lot of times I'll have to say no and I'm like, hey, let's make a rain check. And it works better for both people. Or, you know, I think people don't want to make other people upset at the cost of their own health. And we need to get back to where, and not as a conceited or, you know, I'm a narcissist, but self-care in any relationship, single, married, whatever, is the most important because you can't give from that empty bucket.
So what are your closing words? So what do you want people to learn from this episode, episode 8, learning from the past? What can they learn from your past?
I think the thing from your past is, have you really healed from your past? Because a lot of my issues were from childhood stuff, even before I met my ex. And I never dealt with that. I kind of met him and thought he was going to be my knight in shining armor and fix all my problems and do all the things. But life kicked in. And so all those problems got pushed further down into the depths of hell. And at some point you have to deal with them because things will come up, you know, lost a child, lost my parents, lost a thing, you know, just things, sick spouse, all these things came up and it was never really my time to heal. And then I was a shell of nothing. And at that shell of nothing, I was like, something's got to change. And a lot of it stemmed around our relationship, marriage, ex, boyfriends, parents.
So think about your past then. Think about your past.
Yeah. Make a conscious effort to deal with your past before you move forward in anything. And while you're in your divorce stage, sit in it. Feel it. Make sure you know that this is fucking shitty. I don't want to do this again. Yeah. I don't want to do any of this again.
Oh, hell no.
And if you can help one person get through the first stage of it, do it. Like, because you've been through it, right? That's why we do our podcast. Because somewhere out there, someone didn't get the manual how to do this. No one gets the manual about how to be a parent or how to be married or how to do, you know, all the things. But if you take time to read the proverbial manuals of yourself and figure out who you are, life's a lot easier. And don't fall into the same traps you did during your marriage.
Yep. All right, everybody. Hope you guys are having a... It's spring. This is the first day, a full day of spring, I think.
I know.
So it's almost nice outside.
And then there's supposed to be a snowstorm on Sunday.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a good night out there. We love you. Write us. Let us know what you want to hear.
But
we're going to talk about... Yeah, Warren, thanks for the email, buddy. Yeah. We're going to talk about... what did I say last time? We're going to talk about...
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Uh-huh.
No, the next one is owning your story.
Owning your story. Which is kind of like learning from the past.
Yeah.
But your story is your...
story now?
Now.
And I feel like this one's be a good... This will be good, too, because I think a lot of times, especially after you're divorced, you're post-divorce, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I was divorced. Me, too.
Different
and then
levels.
You see a lot of people that have been divorced now because it's, you know, more common. But what version of your past do you give people? Some people you meet, you tell them your whole story. Some people you meet, like, yeah, I'm divorced. I do a podcast. Move on. Yeah, I'm divorced, and now I have a new boyfriend. So defining your story and finding people that you're comfortable sharing your story and owning your story and good, bad, and different, you know, your mistakes. That's what we're here for.
All right, everybody. Have a nice night. We love you.
Love you. Bye.